Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
We're so excited because, hello, welcome. This is Bitchin' Every Week. We talk about a different person. We dissect, we diverge, we veer wildly off track. And this week we have a person with us.
An actual human being via Zoom.
Via Zoom. Welcome, John Taylor.
That's just how I'm going to describe you, John. Is an actual human being.
Hi, I'm an actual human person.
No introduction needed.
John is actor, writer. I'm guessing you have many strings to your bow. I mean, I know you from Twitter, so you're a tweeter.
Yeah, well, that takes up a distressing amount of my time, and that there might well be more writing if there were less tweeting, but that's not a thread I'm prepared to pull on too hard.
Oh, a thread, a Twitter thread.
There we go. Don't pull on it until you're ready, I think.
Also, I feel like our lives are going to be preserved by what we say on social media. So what you're doing is writing your own eulogy, essentially, or your own memoirs for history. So it's not wasted time being on Twitter, I don't think.
That's true, but then your eulogy is like, oh, he had a disappointing yoghurt that day. And it's like, you can't really carve that on a gravestone.
You could try. Thank you for joining us. Do you want to say, John, who we're talking about and also why you picked this person?
Yeah, I think about food a lot. Mm. And particularly in the last, not to be an immediate downer, but in the last 6 months I've had a few medical issues, which meant I've had to completely change my diet. As somebody who's always enjoyed cooking and almost being one of those people who make it a bit of their personality that they're cooking all the time, it's just been on my mind a lot of the way food's presented to us and our relationship with food through the people who introduce it to us. So I wanted to talk about the wonderful and magnificent Nadia Hussain.
Yay! I'm so glad you said wonderful and magnificent, because you never quite know, because we are called Bitchin', and sometimes the assumption is, therefore, we're horrible about everybody. So it's nice that we're talking about her, and
Which isn't true, because, I mean, the other week you said you wanted to go for a pint with Rishi Sunak, so...
I regretted that immediately, though. I've retracted that immediately. Tried to give everyone a fair trial, and I was just saying...
Even the Tories.
Really. I mean, he wouldn't pay for the pint.
Oh, that's true, that's true, that's true. Well, they've just confirmed, haven't they, that they're putting up national insurance, so he's off my dinner party
get fucked.
List. Yeah,
and in extra getting fucked news, there's also this thing about closing the, quote, loophole of claiming for heating and internet and utilities if you work from home.
No. Are you serious?
That's what they're talking about doing. That's not a loophole. That's sort of a feature.
Yeah. We'll just do our work without the heating on. I'll just do it outside. Don't need a flat.
Yeah, you don't need internet. You can just shout at somebody nearby, and that's the equivalent.
We'll all just become street performers. Maybe that's what you need to do from now on. Oh, dear. I'm with you with the fascination on food, though. Obsessed. My whole day is formed around what meals I'm going to eat and what I'm going to cook. So I was really pleased that you picked something food related so we can talk about food.
Yeah, well, basically what I'm facing at the moment is I've been medically advised to eat as few carbs as possible, which means bread, sugar, potatoes, all the things that make life worthwhile.
Yeah, all the best things.
No beer. And so I've been spending a lot of time looking at sort of beautiful recipes such as Nadia cooks and thinking, well, I mean, I could make that with almond flour and flaxseed and misery.
A dollop of resentment.
It's not just a dessert. It's a reminder that you've made bad decisions in your life.
Oh, God.
Because I've had all my carbs, basically. That's the reason that I've got to stop.
Oh, really? Is it like forever?
Yeah. It's kind of forever. I have to keep it monitored, but basically I didn't have a particularly unhealthy diet, but my body has sort of ceased to process carbs probably. So, and particularly being on tour at the moment, not being
so
able to reach
hard.
For a toast
oh
at the beginning
God.
Of the day. Or,
yeah. Or a bag of chips. So, wait, can you eat chips?
No, not really. I can eat celeriac chips. That's the other thing about not eating carbs. You become incredibly middle class whether you want to or not. So it's like I drink kombucha now.
Oh, lovely.
And eat celeriac chips. And it all feels very poncy.
Oh, I own it. Own being poncy.
You're doing what you got to do for your health, and that's
yeah,
that's a good thing.
Absolutely, it's quite expensive.
Yeah,
like almond flour and coconut flour and protein bars and all those kinds of things. They're more expensive than you know normal food that tastes nice. Yeah.
It's the thing I found about being vegan, which is very much voluntary, rather than someone told me to do it, so I don't get as much sympathy. But it's just my food bill did definitely go up, particularly at the beginning while I was. I mean, working out how to adjust to it. It's, it just is pricey. And it's so dumb. Like, there's a brand of chocolate. There's a brand of chocolate.
It's chocolate and it's toxic.
There's a brand of toxic chocolate that I used to buy that didn't have milk in it. And they have since put milk in it and created another vegan version of that chocolate that they charge more for. It's just so depressing.
Capitalism breeds innovation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
when they know you need
it,
and I guess with dietary stuff as well, they know you really need it or you will die, they will charge you more for it. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. And because my husband and I were trying to eat much more plant-based diet when this happened, and my life isn't feasible without eggs anymore.
Yeah.
It's just... That's literally the one breakfast food that
oh, you
it's still
can
possible
have eggs.
Doing.
You
I can
have
eggs.
I thought you were saying that you can't, and therefore your life
no,
is
no.
not feasible.
No, but you tried to you tried to cut them out, and then you realised you had to bring them back. Absolutely,
eggs are protein. Like, you need that.
Yeah. Also, I actually met somebody yesterday. It was so embarrassing. Who I just somehow ended up. When you say you're vegan, there is an assumption that you therefore think everybody else should be vegan, and I found it really hard to steer away from making it sound like that is what I thought. And she was talking about all of her health conditions and dietary requirements, and I was doing it. Sounds like I was saying like it sounds like you're doing the best that you possibly can be, because she was clearly justifying to me the fact she needs to now eat meat, and I really really don't mind. But the more I was saying I didn't mind, the more she thought I just had to walk away.
No,
from the
you kill them. It's fine. I'm not bothered. Yeah, and obviously you wish death upon every animal you've ever met, but yeah, that's fine.
You do.
But
you.
We're also attuned to looking to these signals that it's almost impossible to say that you're fine with something without it sounding passive-aggressive.
Yeah, it's true.
And we're British as well, so it does just sound fake.
Yeah, because even if you say, like, completely sincerely, you say, no, honestly, I'm fine, that's the most passive-aggressive sentence in the world. Yeah.
I don't believe you. Or you weren't even saying it about anything, and I was like, I don't believe it.
It's true. The amount of subtext, oh my gosh. I'm really guilty for it though. I live my life through subtext. So then when
I'm trying to live my life without subtext now. This is a codependent recovery thing. You just take people at their word. It's really hard because
what do you worry about in the middle of the night then?
Well, I've got a weighted blanket now, so I just sleep through the night.
Also, Tilly has quite dramatic dreams, so that takes your energy, doesn't
it? That takes up a lot of my time. Yeah. I love how you describe them as dramatic dreams instead of nightmares. Just the idea that I'm making it all. She's making it all up. They're very dramatic.
No, it's about positive reframing. You're in a thriller. That's what's happening.
Tonight, in a very special subconscious, we present... Tilly's dramatic dream.
Very much that.
Look, in terms of our... I should read Nadia's Wikipedia page.
You should just go to Wikipedia, John.
Nice.
Because
just for the sake of, you know, feeling like we look like we've done some Googling, even if we haven't.
Because we haven't, and we generally say, do your own Googling. That's what we say. Do your own Googling.
Here she is. Nadia Jameer Hussain, MBE... Nee Begum, born the 25th of December 1984, she's very young, is a British Bangladeshi TV chef, author and television presenter. She rose to fame after winning the sixth series of BBC's Great British Break Off in 2015. She loves to break off that bread in Great British Break Off. What a legend, what an icon. Are you both fans of the British Break Off? Do you watch it?
I did watch that season, actually. I don't watch it anymore.
Yeah, I used to watch it religiously, and I still do watch it. I watch it every week, but I'm trying to skirt around a way of saying I don't enjoy it as much as I used to, but
same.
I think it is as simple as that.
Yeah.
And I think there's part of it, it's easy to maybe blame the move to commercial television, but I think there's part of the challenge setting which is a bit more, we're going to give you something that takes 8 hours and give you 28 minutes to do it in, and yeah. Oh dear, it's fallen over. Which
it sounds great when you describe it like that. That sounds hilarious. Like Takeshi's Castle, but with cake. I don't know why I got so angry when they moved to Channel 4. Like, I really took it very personally and I boycotted it. But I mean, looking back, there's bigger things to be angry about, but I was furious.
Yeah, well, it was, when was it? It was 2016. Yeah, there was plenty to be angry about in 2016.
Yeah, there really was. Bigger fish to fry.
And the main change was they dropped the history bit, which people pretended to care about, but actually nobody really did.
Mm. Oh, yeah, the little interludes where
Mel would go to Vienna to watch a biscuit.
See, I just love Sue and Mel, and I think for me that was the... I just didn't... And no shade to the new hosts, but...
No, none at all.
I just... I don't know, it lost something in the translation.
Well, there's that story about, which I really hope is true, you hear it quite a lot, so it may well be, that they always used to, if they saw somebody's like lip quivering or saw that someone's going to have a cry or a meltdown, they'd swear or drop something or bang into something so that the footage wouldn't be usable. And there's so much telly that is the opposite of that and is basically squirting onion juice into people's faces. It's just really nice
I agree. I wonder how much they are there has been a culture shift in terms of the sort of reality TV, if we're going to call it that, under that umbrella. And I wonder how much it has been responsible for that shift, because I think everybody was surprised by how popular it was and successful it was, considering it's a show about making cakes. But we all really loved how nice everyone was to each other. That's always what I enjoyed about it.
Yeah, because it started sort of hidden away, didn't it, on BBC Two, and then they suddenly realised that loads of people were watching it. And I think that year when Nadia won, it was right at the height of when it was something that you could guarantee that somebody else had seen if you wanted to have a chat about what was on the telly.
Yeah.
And she was just such an obvious star from the start. She, you know, really fun and funny and charismatic and vulnerable and chaotic, because she'll, like, her last series on her recipe series on BBC, it's like she does a macaroni cheese with crumbled up Wotsits in it.
I love that.
And of course it's BBC, so she has to call it like exploded corn snack cheese powder.
Other corn snacks are available.
And it's stuff like that you know, she's got a chocolate tart with a base made of crisps.
Here for that.
And that kind of chaotic energy was part of her run on the show, and she was making cakes with cream soda in them in the shape of bottles, and you just thought, even if she doesn't win, she's won. She's going to get something huge out of this.
Fucking hell. You know things are bad when I'm actually feeling quite nostalgic for 2016. I'm like, gee, was it that bad? Let's go back.
Those good old days.
I read a really nice thing about her, that because, you know, she cooked the cake for the Queen's 90th birthday, I think it was. We've bitched about the Queen on this, and that wasn't a positive... Well, from my perspective, that wasn't a positive episode, but I did think...
I just feel sorry for her because she's old. She's an old lady, and I...
Not too old to protect. Beep, beep, beep. <without
it. laughs> She's from a different... She's like a time traveller. That's my perspective on her. The rest of them are... Parasites and awful, but
she's the worst.
She's brainwashed.
She's the worst
anyway.
But I read this thing that when Nadia Hussein told one of her daughters that she was cooking the Queen's 90th birthday party, her queen, what is wrong with my words today? They're all scrambled up.
Well, you might have COVID, Helen. So
oh yeah, that's
probably
true. That's true. My partner at the moment has COVID, so I'm isolating. I'm okay though. Although now
you
I'm doing this podcast.
At the start.
Yeah, I have noticed my voice is sort of down here this week. Hello. But this is really getting in the way of my cute anecdote. I might just give up. Her daughter Queen.
Don't give up.
Her Queen daughter didn't understand why it was so exciting, because thought that by the Queen she meant Mary Berry, and she was like, but you've cooked loads of cakes for Mary Berry, I don't understand.
Oh, bless her heart.
That's so cute.
That's very sweet. You could make a lot of links between Mary Berry and the Queen. Some of them faintly libelous. Others
it's
more
fine.
Sort
we can cut
positive.
Stuff out. It's fine.
Yeah.
We can bleep it. We love to do a suggestive bleep. I saw Mary Berry on Wimbledon High Street.
Did you?
Oh yeah, she was stood
what
there.
What was she doing?
She just come out of Ely's, which is a sort of what are those shops called that have lots of little shops in a bigger shop, like Debenhams.
Oh, a department store.
Department store. Yeah, she'd just come out of there and then someone stopped her and went, "You're Mary Berry." And she went, "Yes." That was it.
I really wanted you to say she was coming out of Greg's and like slamming down a baked bean slice. And
I would have
hoping
loved
no one would see
that.
Her. She's part of that like old school British TV cooking stuff of now you may want to put half a clove of garlic in this, but if you don't like it spicy, that's fine. Just
oh my God, yeah. Fucking hell.
Because I'm just old enough, I'm significantly older than both of you, and I'm just old enough to remember when telly was sort of like telly food was like early Delia, and I remember as a kid her talking about this Italian sauce that you won't have heard of, and it's made with olive oil, which you can get from the chemists, and
oh
it was, that's how pesto was introduced to a grateful nation.
No.
Oh my God. Wow.
And it's all this, you know, it's all this sort of innovative for its time, but still. And I remember my mum getting olive oil from Boots, because that's where you got it from.
Oh, my goodness me. Yeah, I was talking to my mum about the fact that they didn't used to eat pasta. Like, the idea of eating pasta would be really
wild.
Just spaghetti in a tin. Spaghetti hoops.
Spaghetti hoops, yeah.
I think
yeah.
Food is so tied to, like, our relationship with our families. I think there's no way of getting around that. Is there, like, food?
Yeah, absolutely.
And how you think about food. So much of it comes from how you're raised and what you're used to,
And what you expect to eat, and what you are expected to eat too.
Mm, and those comfort things you go to, like Marmite on toast or things like that. Sorry, John, because you can't have that anymore. But you know,
so Kate,
have you found a replacement for Marmite on toast?
You cannot replace bread. Everything that you make that's supposed to be a bread replacement comes out sort of spongy, and like you feel like. If I this tastes a little bit like rye bread, but I feel like if I squeeze it, significant water would come out of it, and that's, you know, that's not bread. But Marmite, you know, fortunately Marmite are sort of colossal in their outsourcing, so I can still have Marmite cream cheese and Marmite peanut butter and Marmite hummus, which is disgusting, so I won't.
Oh, I've not heard of that. Is that gross?
It's pretty gross, but the peanut butter is everything, and I can have that by the spoonful.
Mm. What do you have it with then if you're not having it with toast? Is it a cracker?
A spoon.
Oh, a spoon.
That's more decadent in a way. Just a middleman, actually. I don't know if you can have them, but like rice cakes? Have you?
Again, rice is not, white rice in particular is not ideal. But this is sort of brings it back to Nadia, because being able to think, okay, I've never necessarily thought these things would go together before, but let's see what happens if I do it, is very much her kind of energy. So it is, when your diet is restricted to mine is now, you do get a little bit more fearless about trying things together to see if they work.
And have the experience of it as well, because I feel like food often is a thing that makes us feel really alive and connected to other people, especially when we're sharing like a new experience with someone else, like a new food experience. Like,
absolutely.
I remember a few months ago, I mean my memory is bad, a few months ago I went to like a seafood place with my friend, and the food wasn't great, but I'm not really like a seafood person, but I'd never had oysters before. And I was like, do you know what? I'm going to do it. And it was awful. And I for the whole for the whole rest of the evening, I felt like I was going to cough up phlegm. Like,
God.
I just felt like there was just phlegm, like, in my... And I was like, I can't understand how anyone enjoys this. But I did it. And it was, like, an experience that I remember, you know? So what have you been experimenting with, John, in the food department?
The first thing that springs to mind is, you know, very un-vegan, which is... just using pepperamis as a hummus vessel.
Ooh,
that sounds good.
It really
is. I can
is.
Really imagine that. It was really evocative the way you described that. Using,
you know, just sitting in front of the telly,
vessel,
open pot,
Yeah.
Because you know they'll take a good dollop of hummus on the end.
Oh, I would say they would. I would imagine.
Also, anything you're having with hummus is just an equivalent of a spoon, isn't it? It's something to get the hummus from the container into gob.
Yeah. And there are some really good ice creams you can do with frozen berries and mascarpone in a food processor, because the frozen berries sort of freeze the cheese, and you get sort of cheesecakey, fruity ice cream. And the tiny violin isn't sort of necessarily being played. I still get to eat lots of good things, but
yeah, you deserve bit of a violin though, because it is a rough deal.
But when you watch a TV cookery show, my mind is now constantly ticking over. Like, I joked about it earlier, but on Nadia's most recent show, if she makes a particular cake, I think, right, okay, what's the almond flour and fake sugar substitute version of that? And, you know, with this quiche, can I do a cheese pastry instead of a flour one? And
that's so clever.
It's sort of that kind of thing of sort of improvising.
It's a very creative part of your brain, isn't it? It shows that you are a creative person. The fact you're able to substitute those, I would find that really challenging, I think, to have the imagination. I know that sounds silly, but to actually recreate something yourself.
Well, it's through repetition, I suppose, because I've become used to the fact that there are, you know, there are basically two flours, almond and coconut, and you know, you watch a recipe on the telly and you think, I'm not sure almond would work for that, but coconut would, and then you're away. I mean, the problem is it's low fat mayonnaise syndrome, because you know, you look at low fat mayonnaise and you think, no, either don't have mayonnaise or have mayonnaise.
This thing
in the middle. So a lot of the things that are trying to ape something else, like, you know, oh, it's bread. There's no point in it.
Yeah.
You just have to embrace the fact that you're eating fat and protein and nothing else, and think what would taste nice together.
Mm. Is there anything you've put together that's been absolutely disgusting?
Oh, mate, so much. there are some combinations that shouldn't be seen. Like, I got a diet book that said use cabbage as pasta, and those people were lying.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
No.
So like strips of cabbage instead of like tagliatelle, and you just think, well, this is a big mushy heap of mush.
Yeah.
there's a certain amount of trial and error, and there are some things where, because my palate has changed so much that my sort of capacity for sweetness is really different, because I haven't had any sugar, and I'll serve a sort of fake chocolate brownie or a fake like creme brulee or something that I've made from a recipe. And I'm thinking, this is brilliant, it tastes just like the real thing. And I'll serve one to my husband to go, look what I've done. And he'll go, yes, that's... I'm not sure I'll be having that again. But it's very well done, because that's very close to...
That was going to be my next question, was whether your husband was doing it with you, or if you're having to sort of cook separate things.
I've kind of become a feeder, because right. I'm so determined that... he's not going to miss out on stuff that I can't go to the shop and come back without chocolate. And it's like, eat the chocolate
it's
for
fine,
me.
I'm fine. I don't miss it.
I would be the complete opposite. I'd be like, if I'm not having it, you're not having it. That's so nice of you.
And you know, there are times when, I'll make courgette spaghetti and sometimes I make pasta for him to have instead, and sometimes he'll just eat the courgette and like it, damn it. So there's no sort of hard and fast rule, but I'm conscious of... I mean, the easiest thing to do is to make, like, a normal meal where he has spuds with it and I don't. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It takes so much planning and thinking, though. Like, this has always been my struggle with food. It's never been in the eating of it, but in the planning of it. Mm. So, like... I've had to do, like, as an adult now, I've got a lot better in the pandemic. Like, I really have to make, like, cooking part of, like, my routine. But I really have to force myself to do it. But I don't know, John, I think you said that you had always been someone who loved cooking. Was that a feature of your childhood, or was that just something that you got into when you left home, or...?
Oh, that's a good question. More as an adult than as a child, although, you know... I did all the sort of typical middle class baking with mother type of cake stuff, but I cooked quite a lot as a student, and just got more and more into it.
My gosh, wow, what were you cooking as a student that wasn't super noodles?
Like Ponzi 90s food, so, roulades.
Roulades. You know, I don't think I ate anything at uni that wasn't a carb or that you couldn't prepare in 5 minutes or that I wasn't getting from the chippy.
That said, we talked about food combinations earlier. As a student, I made the single most disgusting dish I've ever eaten.
What was it?
It was post-pub stuff. And you know, got back from the pub hungry. And I had that very student thing of a, quote, pasta salad, which is some leftover tomato pasta that you've dumped mayonnaise in earlier that day.
Right, yeah.
And I had that in the fridge, but I thought, no, I want something hot. So I thought, well, mayonnaise is a fat, so what I'll do is I'll fry this cold pasta, but that might be a bit bland, and so I just went crazy adding stuff. I started with breadcrumbs, I don't know why I had breadcrumbs, and then loads of grated cheese, and then a big dollop of Marmite, and some chilli, and... God, it was disgusting. It was so horrible.
I mean,
it must have been for you to remember it. Like, I don't remember a single meal that I had at uni.
You know, pan-fried mayonnaise, Marmite pasta salad. That's
famous,
delicious.
It's Jamie's 15-minute meal.
Yeah, it really is.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Do you know, that would be a fantastic cookbook idea. Pisshead Makers. Yes.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Nigel Slater always used to do, like, this is a sausage sandwich for after the pub. And, you know, that kind of thing makes more sense. There's a Nigella Lawson recipe for... You can make this after the pub. And it's a caramel brioche bread and butter pudding.
Oh, that sounds good.
It sounds great, but no one's making it after the pub.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good one. You get home and what you do is 2 hours of prep. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the people who say, and Nadia's guilty of this sometimes, like, this is a really good breakfast on the go. So start by chopping your apricot. And
if you have to get out a chopping board... No,
it ain't happening.
It's not breakfast if you have a chopping board. That's a line in the sand.
I went to see Nigella Lawson really randomly. Like, I'm not a big fan of hers, but I was having some time off and I saw that she was on at the South Bank Centre, and she did exactly that, where she said so many recipes that had ingredients that I'd never even heard of, and you always use the word like. Well, she would say things like, "It's a basic human right to have a flabbergasted."
What the fuck are you on about?
You learn a lot about someone from what they call a stalker.
Yes.
If people are saying, you know, stalker stuff, are they like flour or pasta and mushroom ketchup?
Is that a thing?
Mushroom ketchup sounds great.
Mushroom ketchup is a thing, yeah.
Is that a new thing for you? Has that been...
No, I'm not. I'm not a mushroom fan, so...
Have you... I'm so sorry to interrupt, but have you been following the new breaking news about fungi?
What's happened? Oh, don't tell me they've done something bad.
No.
Who have they hurt?
They're cancelled.
Mushrooms are cancelled. I can't believe it. I was just eating them. What the fuck?
There's a historic tweet from Mushrooms in 2008. You will not believe what it says.
This is why I'm off Twitter now. I can't have another food group ruined for me.
Look, I won't get into it too much, but do your own Googling. Yeah. There's a podcast called something like The Truth About Fungi, and then David Attenborough did a very small section on his Green Planet that's on at the moment about fungi. And basically, there's been all these discoveries about how there are these giant organisms under the surface of the Earth that are just one giant fungi that are networks that then trees use to communicate through, and they send each other electronic signals, including warning each other if there's like a plant-eating animal, they'll send a signal so then the other trees know to produce like protective hormones. And also, trees, when they're dying, send their nutrients through the fungi to trees that they know are from their seed, so they're babies, essentially. It's just blown my mind. It's called the mycorrhizal network or something under lots of forests. Yeah, go and Google it. It makes you never want to eat a mushroom again.
Is it really cynical of me to say that these tree-protecting mushrooms aren't doing a great job?
Oh, that's so true. I guess, how do you signal to someone that there's someone with a giant chainsaw coming for you? What can you do about that?
They're doing their best, and that's what counts. The thing that the mind-blowing fact that I heard, and apologies if you heard this before, and again, something people can Google, is apparently, according to some kind of research, elephants see humans the way we see puppies. So they're like, oh, look at it! Oh, look at the little thing! Oh, it's so cute!
That is amazing.
Humbling. Very humbling.
We are very cute, and it's time that someone noticed, actually.
Yes! We're not just murderers that are ruining the planet.
No, we're weird and we're cute and we're all fleshy.
And elephants want to smush us on the nose.
Have you watched all of Nadia's other series then, since she was on Bake Off?
Yeah, I've got all the books.
Wow.
There's that massive enthusiasm and joy she has that even when it's largely stuff that I can't eat, I'm watching the telly just enjoying her and enjoying her. And I think she's managed something really... really tricky, actually. She's walked a really hard to navigate line, because she's still just about getting away with, you know, relatable mum of three, busy mum, I've got to get food on the table, that kind of vibe. And she's like a massively rich TV icon.
Yeah.
And she's, it's like when, you know, when like bands get a first album and they're all young and raw and hungry and it's all about throwing up on the night bus, and then their third album is like, oh, I've got too much cocaine, if anything.
Oh, I'm in LA and everything's horrible. Yeah. And you're like, fuck off.
Yeah, it's like a whole album of songs about, I don't like press conferences. she still manages to get away with what is essentially a kind of lie. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, she's not... You know, she's juggling all kinds of things, but not in a cozy, I'm just a mum kind of way. She's a massive media presence. But when she says, you know, I just like on a Sunday to reach for this jar of stuff and mix up this jar of stuff and make this for my family, you go, well, I believe you, even if that's only two Sundays a year, kind of thing.
Yeah. And I guess...
Go on, babe.
You go, Tilly.
No, you go.
I guess it comes from...
It's fine. No, it's honestly completely fine. You go.
You have to go now. You have to go. My mind is a cave. It's a bat cave. You must go. Take the mantle, Tilly, for us all.
I was going to say that she suffered with anxiety, just like Helen's doing right now.
Yeah, she's had panic attacks, hasn't she, which she sort of opened up about...
And been quite an ambassador about it. And there's that speech she made at the Bake Off final, which is when she sort of cemented herself in people's hearts. She said something like she'd just been told she'd won, and she was very tearful, and she was saying, I'm never going to put limits on myself again. I'm never going to tell myself I can't. I can and I will. And it struck me, thinking about that this week in the light of all the intensely annoying, you've got the same 24 hours in a day as Beyonce thing.
Yeah.
I can and I will doesn't feel like toxic positivity. It doesn't feel like you can do anything. It's just, there's a sense of, here's a thing that I want to achieve, and I'm not going to trip myself up at the start by saying I'll probably be shit at it.
Yeah. That's so lovely, and explains why she's managed to keep that, like you say, I don't want to call it, it's not a facade, but that personality character, yeah. I guess, up, because that truth behind where she's come from and how she did it will always remain. And I guess she probably continues to be really grateful that it has happened to her, because if she did have that sort of doubt at the beginning of whether or not to put herself forward, and now she's such a icon.
I think I read somewhere about it was her first time on a train or something when she went to Bake Off. Like, she'd...
Wow.
She'd lived a really... She'd never left her hometown, I think. She was, you know, she kept herself small, kind of thing, because of the anxiety. And then just to go on telly and go, oh, yeah, I'm actually really good at this, and oh, look, I've won. It's just such a...
I'm going to cry. But actually, like you say, that could completely then mean you do the opposite and you can't deal with the fame and you become an awful version of yourself. I think it's just a real credit to her as a person that she's just continued to be so lovely. I bet you after we put this out next week, it turns out she's like doing some sort of illegal,
She's in league with the mushrooms, and they're both cancelled.
She's jamming the mushroom signal so they can't save the tree.
Oh my god, it's her! She's the reason climate change is happening.
But yeah, I was thinking about, you know, what is there stuff not to like about her? And then I thought, well, yeah, there are a lot of people who don't like her, but we know who they are and we know why. So
yeah,
yeah.
They don't need our time.
Yeah.
But she doesn't... I mean, this is such a boring, cliché thing to say about somebody in the public eye, but she does seem completely genuine. You know,
yeah.
You, like Helen, you moved away from using the facade, because the word facade, because she doesn't feel like she's portraying a persona, even though sometimes she is, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess it's a character built on the person that she really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think... So my theory is...
Go on, give us your hot take.
Well, I think... Because I feel like if Helen's famous, if I had become famous and if it had happened to me, like, pre a certain age... So I think if I'd become famous pre... This sounds like I'm saying I'm famous. I'm not. What I'm saying is... Let's say I became famous age anything below 27. I think I would have been a complete cunt. And I'm just wondering if... I mean, Helen, you were pretty much 22 onwards, and you've always been nice. But how nice are you, John? Really?
Really, deep down, in your heart and soul.
I'm a lot nicer than I would have been if I'd been famous.
Yeah, well, this is what I think, because I just think the machine of it is designed to turn you into an arsehole, and that's why I find it really impressive when, well, I mean, obviously we don't know her, but someone like Nadia, who seems very genuine and hasn't let it go to their head.
Yeah. Watching people you know become famous is a really interesting thing.
Yeah.
And that's happened to me with a few of my friends, including your TV dad, Helen. David, who I've known since I was 19.
Oh.
And he stayed fairly level-headed with it.
Mm.
But other people that... And so it's Rob to an extent, but I know some other people who I've known from about that time, and I think you sometimes think, you're not handling that very well.
I'm going to WhatsApp you after this to find out.
We can bleep. No, it's true. I think as well there is a shift. I mean, who knows if this is just me hypothesising, but I think we all have this with, like, agents and people. It always feels like you're working for people, even though those people are actually sort of there to facilitate the career and the, like, character that is you, quote unquote. And I think it must be incredibly difficult to work out what you actually have autonomy over and ownership over, and what you can say yes to and what you can say no to. And the more you can forge it yourself, I think the nicer and the more genuine you can be. And I wonder how many opportunities, you know, Nadia's turned down, or we'll never know, I guess, will mm-hmm. we, how much autonomy she's been able to have over her own career. But you see it a lot with social media people, where you can't tell what has been done because they're publicist.
I had my video off this whole time.
Yeah, I thought you were being insecure. I thought you needed a little moment to...
I just forgot.
I thought you were being shy. Shy with our guest.
I've literally been mooning and, like, doing faces at the camera for, like, 30 minutes ago. No one told me my video. For fuck's sake, man.
Wondering why... Have you been sitting there thinking, I just did a really brilliant face and nobody laughed?
Yeah. I just thought, God, I'm doing so well.
You were on at the beginning, Tilly. Your face was there at the beginning, and then you switched off.
I'm so sorry. I'm
when
so
John
sorry,
was talking
everyone.
About his personal challenges, I thought you needed a little.
Yeah, anyway, enough about your health stuff. I've got to go.
I'm just going to make a cup of tea and just put 8 sugars in it. I'll just switch my camera.
I've got to do my what's it called? My Wordle for the day, so I've gone off camera.
How embarrassing. I'm so sorry.
No, it's
Helen.
Nice to have you back.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. Is anybody doing Wordle, by the way?
Yeah, I do it every day, but and then I send my score to my parents and my boyfriend, and that's it.
I'm a Wordle hypocrite. I early on, I'm not one of the people that still bangs on about it, but I did complain a little bit on social media about suddenly seeing loads of coloured squares everywhere.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then I started doing it, and now I'm locked in this thing of I can't ever share anything from it because I complained about it. And I'm actually on a really good run.
Oh.
What did you get? What did you get with today's?
Today I got in 4.
Mm, me too.
I had one failure a couple of days ago, but I'd had a very long day at rehearsal and I'm blaming that.
I wonder if there's anyone listening who still doesn't know what Wordle is and is confused what's happening. But this is where we say do your own Googling, isn't it? I downloaded an app called Wordle that I was using for quite a while, wondering what all the hype was about. Did anyone else do that?
I did the same.
What was this? And also, I miss things now because I'm not on Twitter. I can't believe I've just spent the last 20 minutes going like this.
Nodding away to no one.
Yeah, there are various rip-off apps, some of which have like in-app purchases. And the whole thing about the Wordle that everyone's doing is, like I said, it's free and there will
it's
never be
free.
Any advertising.
It's free. Wordle is for everyone. This is just like when Bake Off went to Channel 4.
I also think the one I didn't get the other day was Kalmic Punishment because... and it's a line that anyone would have grabbed, right? It's a line that was floating past me and I grabbed it and anyone would have done. But in the dressing room of the show I'm doing at the moment, one of my fellow actors said, John, do you know, does it tell you what the word is if you haven't completed, you know, if you haven't got it right? And I said, I'm terribly sorry, I don't know. And then 2 days later, bang, there it is.
Yeah,
you found out first.
They just shut you in the cupboard with all the puppets. It's workplace bullying, John. You take this seriously now.
Yeah, I'll have to talk to Equity, except I'm the Equity debt, so I'll just have to talk to myself.
Talk to yourself.
Oh, are you? Oh, okay. Oh. That tells me a lot about you, the fact that you went, I'll do it. I'm like, I always come in, I'm like, hey, everyone. Who's going to be Equity?
Again, for anyone that doesn't know, so if you're ever on a show, Equity come and visit, and one of the company need to sort of be the dep or the rep. What do we call it?
The dep. I think they're interchangeable, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, and
are
that
you still
normally
on the committee, Helen.
I am. I'm on the Young Members Committee representing.
How's that going?
It's going well. Thank you very much. I just remember when I was in a show just before COVID broke, and normally the Equity debt, it's very rare that there's actually anything that happens. Is that fair to say, John? Or have you found that you have been up
in?
Whereas then obviously, and I felt so bad because we all nominated the guy who did it on our in our company because no one wanted to do it. And we went, he's nice, he'll do it. And then obviously the next 6 months of his life was renegotiating all of our contracts.
Oh,
I know, we felt awful. He was on daily Zoom. It was not a good situation. Sorry.
But did he do a good job?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it was great.
Because very often it's like the nice guy or the person that you think will be too nice to say no, or there's a real sort of ageist bullying that happens where everyone over 35 says, get the youngest one to do it. Just get the youngest one to do it.
Oh, I love that. Reverse ageism. I actually think it's great. What a way for them to learn.
Exactly.
And also, it's a great opportunity because then, you know, you do it at 22 and then you spend the next 30 years of your career saying, I've just done one. I think I'd better let someone else have a turn.
I might try that. Just, it's a lie, but I might just say, oh, I did the last 3. I need a break.
You could do like, if you're being on the committee, you could do like a conflict of interest.
Oh, that's
like,
a good one.
Sure.
Oh, that's a good one. Because you'd be complaining to me, so I need to... Also, guys, everyone should join the union. It's a good thing.
Yes, that, definitely that.
And be your rep or your dep. You do it. You go for it.
Yeah, don't be like me. I do, but listen, I do obviously class solidarity and unions and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just... it's too much for me, babe. I can't be on stage and also feel like I've got an office job. Do you know what I mean? I can't do it.
I bet Gemma Collins isn't in a union.
Absolutely not. Imagine if there was an influencers union. Imagine the minutes of those meetings.
Well, that's there's brilliant. A bit of a conversation at Equity at the moment whether to include influencers because, you know, technically they're creative performers. Should they have representation too? It's very contentious. I won't get into it.
It's such a sketch idea. The meeting of the influencers union is such a sketch
Let's
idea.
Let's do it. Let's
I mean,
do
it. Is, isn't it? It
Let's make that happen. John, is there anything else that you would like to say about your one true hero that we've not covered, do you think? Your one true hero. Sorry, I gave her that name.
No, I love that. Reminds me of One True Voice, which maybe was the intention, the pop stars band from the early
2000s. Oh, R.I.P. Yeah. Actually, I shouldn't say that in case one of them actually died. I'm going to Google. I think everyone's fine.
No, I don't think I've got anything to add tonight to what we've said. It's just, I think her appeal is very simple, such as it is, which is, we've said a lot of times, she's really genuine, she's really joyful, mm-hmm. she's not afraid to be vulnerable. I did see a quote that said that she had done more to improve cohesion between the Muslim community and the rest of British society than the government had in the last 10 years. And I thought, on the one hand, that's nice, and on the other hand, my toothbrush has done more to improve.
it's a low bar, isn't it?
Confusion than the government has. But, I just think she's, like, nice. And, yeah. And I don't use nice in the sort of bland, not nice, good. I think she strikes me as good.
Yeah. I'm with you. Honestly, like I say, I can't wait for the scandal to come out next week after we put this up.
There is like a bitching curse that happens, John, mm-hmm. where basically whenever we do an episode on anyone, next week something happens.
Yeah.
Not always something bad, but they're in the news the week after, so.
But maybe that's going to be the mushrooms or the elephants.
Maybe we are the mushrooms. causing I feel people like one. To rise above
I'm,
the surface.
I'm beginning to feel more and more like one.
Maybe the real mushrooms were the friends we made.
Maybe the real networking was all the mushrooms I ate along the way.
They are delicious. My closing question to everybody is, what are you having for your tea tonight, or what have you had already for your tea tonight? We're recording this at, it's now 7 p.m. on a Sunday, so I'm intrigued what everyone is eating.
What a great closing question. I don't have a kitchen at the moment, so I've come back from tour, and if I'm slightly echoey, it's because I'm sitting in the empty shell of our kitchen that's being rebuilt.
Wow.
So after a week of microwaving digs and not having a kitchen here, it is takeaway night tonight.
Ooh.
And I've basically got two takeaways that are still on the menu. One is Indian, because you don't have to have naan or rice. But tonight, I think I'm going to have a burrito bowl.
Oh, yes. I'm here for that.
I'm jealous of that.
I'm doing cheer
hands.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. Everything except the rice. Just have some extra veg underneath.
Beans, guacamole.
It's like eating normal food.
How spicy are we talking? What spice level do you go for?
I'll usually hover around a pico de gallo, I think. Don't want to go too much spicier than that, which is usually like labelled medium, I think.
I'm a medium gal too.
Yeah, you don't want to. Nando's, I was always hot, which I think is probably a toxic masculinity thing.
But it's good to recognise that.
it's not as nice as medium, but I still ordered it, and I'm going to go and think about why that is. But yeah, what about you guys?
What about you, Tilly?
I actually had a really weird mashup of things. I had some leftover Indian food from last night. Mm. So some leftover masala paneer. So like paneer in like masala sauce.
Delicious.
And then like some fried aubergine thing. And then I put two veggie sausages in the air fryer and roasted some broccoli. And also roasted two mushrooms that I got from the co-op on my way home because they were reduced and they were like...
That's like a mezze.
Yeah, that is
a
real...
Yeah, it was.
A whole platter.
And you know what? Actually, it was delicious.
A smorgasbord.
I'm glad I did it.
Leftover curry takeaway soup is one of the great things. Just little, ooh, just all the leftovers of whatever you've ordered in a pan with some onion and a bit of stock, and then whiz it up with a stick blender.
That is genius. So I think good. You should have your own cooking show, John. I really do.
You should. Oh my god, you should do like charting your journey without.
Oh my gosh, yeah, and so many people who aren't as creative in
John
the kitchen.
Without bread.
John without bread. I'm here for it. I would want to
watch that.
Yeah, 100%.
I'd be in the pocket of Big Almond. That's the everyone would know where I was coming from.
I am eating a Wagamama.
Oh,
I know. I don't know if anyone's had their. Sorry, John, you won't be able to. But they're steamed. Buns? They're steamed buns?
What are they, like bao buns?
Yeah, and they do a vegan fake meat, which is so meaty and barbecuey and delicious, so I'm very excited.
You're going to love me so much. I can't use this book as much now, as previously mentioned, but for Christmas, not this Christmas, just gone the previous Christmas, I got a book of vegan Japanese cookery. It's so good, which has a cauliflower katsu recipe in it, which is the best.
I don't, my mouth is watering. Will you send me a picture of it?
I'll send it over.
Oh my gosh, it's well, you've so made good. My day. That is very exciting. Oh, I love a katsu. Yay.
So nice.
Well, I'm hungry, so I've got to say.
Everyone's ready for their takeaways.
Everyone's ready for their takeaways. John, it's been so nice to have you on. Thank you for being
here. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so, so much.
So fun.
It's been lovely. It's just, I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours.
Oh, same.
I don't know who would listen to.
Well, not many people.
Well, we can stop recording now and then we can chat.
No.
Thank you guys for listening. Thank you. And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Bitchin' with Tilly Steele and Helen Monks. Music is by Dave Cribb and our artwork is by Luke W. Robson. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you're enjoying it, and do follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We love to hear from you. Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.